For tonight's Conversations with Great Minds, I'm joined by Jeffrey Smith. Jeffrey is a leading consumer advocate in the fight against the use of genetically modified foods. He's counseled leaders on every continent and influenced some of the first state laws in the United States regulating the use of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. Jeffrey has been described as the leading world expert in the understanding and communication of the health issues surrounding genetically modified foods. He is the author of numerous critically acclaimed books on genetically modified foods, including Genetic Roulette, the documented health risks of genetically engineered foods. Jeffrey joins me now in the studio. Jeffrey, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Back in the 80s, when the GMOs were first coming out, there were no laws, there were no regulations, and Monsanto actually went to the, I believe it was the Bush administration?
Administration.
It was the Reagan administration.
Right.
Okay. And said, we'd like you to regulate us.
Right.
What was this all about? What happened?
Well, you see, Monsanto has not been a very popular company for decades because of continually lying about the toxicity of their products. So they figured if the government gave a rubber stamp to it and it looked like it was the government approving it, then they were kind of off the hook. And in the next decade, they got what they wanted, a rubber stamp that meant nothing, but it gave the illusion that the government was regulating GMOs.
How so?
Well, the person in charge of policy at the FDA was Michael Taylor, Monsanto's former attorney. He had been put in that position because the White House, under the first Bush administration, instructed the FDA to promote biotechnology. And so they brought in Michael Taylor to be in charge. The policy claims that the agency is not aware of any information showing that GMOs are significantly different, and therefore no testing or labeling was necessary.
That's the actual language. In fact, we have a graphic of this. We can show it on the screen. The FDA declares GMOs no different. This is a graphic number one, actually.
Here we are.
Yeah, there you go. The agency is not aware of any information showing that foods. This is verbatim what you just said.
Yeah, this is the actual
policy.
And this was
written by a guy who worked for Monsanto, quit his job, went to work for the government.
Then went back to Monsanto as their VP, and now is back at the FDA as U.S. Food Safety Czar.
You're kidding.
No. But it gets worse. You see, when a lawsuit was filed against the FDA, they were forced to turn over their secret internal memos, 44,000 of them. And it turns out that the statement in the policy was a lie, that it was actually the overwhelming consensus among the scientists working at the FDA that GMOs were dangerous and should be carefully tested. They warned against toxins, allergens, new diseases, and nutritional problems. And they complained about the proposed regulation that came out.
That's remarkable. So, and in fact, you have some examples here. The genetically modified potatoes, this photo, GM potatoes number two, damaged rats. Tell us about this.
Well, in this case, the rats ate genetically engineered potatoes, engineered to produce an insecticide. It's not on the market. It was an experiment.
So but this is sort of like the BT corn that produces Bacillus thermophilus.
Very similar, very similar. But what they did was they found that the rats that ate natural potatoes that was spiked with the same insecticide that the GM potatoes produced, they didn't get sick. So it was only the process of genetic engineering that could be implicated, the same process that's used for the soy and corn that are already on the market.
Could it be that if the toxin, the insecticide, if it's externally applied to the potato, it's everything is outside of cellular membranes, mm-hmm. and so the body can somehow distinguish that, the digestive tract, whereas if it's endogenous, if it's the product of the potato itself growing, it would permeate every cellular structure of the potato.
In this case, they guarded against that because they had tested this particular insecticide at doses of 700 times higher than were produced in the potato, and they had no effect on the rats. But we do know the process of genetic engineering causes massive collateral damage in the DNA. And so there could be hundreds or thousands of mutations.
In the DNA of the potato.
Of the plant, right. So the corn, for example, has a new allergen. Monsanto's BT corn has a completely new allergen that was not evaluated by the FDA or anyone and only found out afterwards.
By allergen, you mean something that causes human beings to react allergically to
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Okay. And Monsanto's soybeans have as much as 7 times higher levels of an existing soy allergen, et cetera. And these things are not evaluated.
Now, just to go back to this GM potatoes, the consequence of this in this graphic, the rats developed potentially precancerous growth in the digestive tracts. We have a picture of that in just a second. Smaller brains, livers, and testicles, partial atrophy of the liver, and immune system damage.
In 10 days.
In 10 days.
Yes.
It seems to me that all you would have to do on your website to get the average American, at least the average American male, to pay attention to this is put, you know, Monsanto gives you smaller testicles.
I have one that's better. Male rats fed genetically modified soy, the testicles change from pink to blue.
Oh my.
I have pictures of that.
Wow.
And when I show it, I kind of just take a sip of water and say, I'll let that one sink in for a while.
Yeah, yeah. The next graphic we have, I believe, is the stomach lining.
Yes.
And this, these are the stomach linings. Now this is to scale. So the lining cells. This is the endothelium, epithelium, none of the
it's
above.
The stomach lining.
The stomach lining. Okay. The stomach lining is thicker.
Right. Yeah.
What are we seeing here?
This is called potentially precancerous cell growth. There's no tumors yet found, but it's proliferative cell growth. For some reason, the cell architecture is completely different in the rats that ate the genetically modified potato.
Right.
But here's the scary thing. When a pediatrician named Michelle Perro saw these research studies, she said, uh-oh, we've got a problem. This is what we're seeing in our children. She has seen changes in the digestive capacity and the digestive effects in children that are different than they were 30 years ago. Kids that are allergic to everything, or have failure to thrive, can't eat anything. And we see that this kind of disruption may be throughout the American population, because inflammatory bowel disease is up 40% since GMOs were introduced, colitis, ulcers, etc. Now, we've interviewed thousands of doctors and their patients over time who have prescribed non-GMO diets, talked to them. They said they're prescribing non-GMO diets to every patient. And as we describe their results, it turns out these kind of things are seen. The gastrointestinal problems are on the rise, but when they switch to non-GM, a lot of them go away within days.
Wow.
And with livestock, it's the same way. With pigs that were fed genetically modified soy as their regular diet, they were switched to non-GM soy. Diarrhea problems disappeared in 2 days. Ulcers, bloat, etc. Deaths from them disappeared completely. We're seeing changes in cattle, pigs, dogs, cats, and humans when they go from GM to non-GM. And it's very similar what's happening.
We're seeing an epidemic in the United States right now of what's being referred to as gluten intolerance,
right.
Celiac disease, wheat intolerance. I can testify to this.
Really?
I came back from Australia about a decade, well, it was 9/11, the day before 9/11. And I'd gotten really, really sick there from Giardia, this parasite mm-hmm. that infects the water supply in Sydney. And took a bunch of antibiotics, somehow nuked my guts. And ever since then, I've been able to eat wheat. I eat anything with wheat and I get really sick. Could it be, and it's like, in that decade, from that
yes.
until now,
explosion.
It's like everybody I know is like this. And
right.
restaurants now are saying, oh, you want the gluten-free menu? It's like, you know, a decade ago I'd say that and they go, what?
Or it's like, you still eat gluten?
Yeah, right. And could it be that, you know, not to hyper-personalize this, but that kind of thing, that intolerance to gluten isn't really an intolerance to gluten. It's either A, an intolerance to GMO gluten, or B, it is a change in the body that's the consequence of eating other GMO foods, or it's being maintained, because I mean, I eat a lot of corn now because I can't eat wheat,
right.
so I eat things in tacos. And if I'm eating them in a restaurant, the odds are they're GMO corn. So I'm continually, can you
yes.
riff on that a little bit?
Are we
onto something here?
I think we are. When I describe, for example, the BT corn, which you described, the corn engineered to produce its own insecticide, when I describe that at medical conferences, the doctors go, oh my God, this could explain the increase in gastrointestinal problems in my practice since GMOs were introduced in 1996. BT toxin, it's designed to break open the stomach of insects and kill them.
Right.
Now, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, there's no impact on human cells and it's destroyed during digestion. They got it wrong. February of this year, Journal of Applied Toxicology, they took the BT toxin out of Monsanto's corn, applied it to human cells, it poked holes in the cells causing leakage, the same kind of holes that may kill insects. Last year in Canada, they found 93% of pregnant women had BT toxin in their blood, as well as the blood of 80% of their unborn fetuses. So if BT toxin is drilling holes in our intestinal walls and causing disruption of the lining of our digestive tract, then it could be causing the problems that we're seeing. Now, you mentioned antibiotics. The other type of GM crop are Roundup Ready crops, engineered not to die when sprayed with Roundup. So it's a weed killing technology. The Roundup ends up in the food. The Roundup is an antibiotic. We eat the antibiotic. It not only has all these, you know, cancer promoting and endocrine disruption properties, but it can also potentially kill the gut bacteria that's helpful for our immune system and our digestive system. So all this kind of disruption can be wreaking havoc on the human diet in North America, and we're seeing these kind of changes in the increased disorders since 1996.
Is there a control? Are there other countries that have similar wealth to the United States, similar dietary habits to the United States, but don't use genetically modified foods? And if so, do they have different incidences of these kinds of problems?
Yes, the United States is falling behind Europe. The United States gets sicker more often than Europeans. The United States is falling behind in terms of infant mortality and longevity, et cetera. So Europe is a good example. In fact, there's another genetically modified food called bovine growth hormone injected cows in the dairy products that come out.
RGBH.
Right. And they compared the rate of fraternal twins in the UK compared to the US and found it was much bigger in the US, and they blame that on RBGH because it increases the incidence of fraternal twins.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I've seen a lot of speculation too that somehow these hormones, I can't identify any particular one, but the increasing cocktail of hormones that we're giving our animals are contributing to the breast cancer epidemic in this country as well, and possibly prostate cancers and testicular, you know, all these hormone mediated cancers.
And the bovine growth hormone increases IGF-1, which is linked to breast cancer. Premenopausal women with high levels of IGF-1 are 7 times more likely to develop breast cancer. So what I just said, because I spoke pretty quickly, was when you take this injection and you inject cows, the milk has higher levels of a cancer-promoting hormone. A former Monsanto scientist told me that 3 of his colleagues found such high levels of IGF-1 in the milk from cows treated with Monsanto's drug. These 3 Monsanto scientists refused to drink milk thereafter unless it was organic. One bought his own cow.
Wow, amazing. More with Jeffrey Smith right after the break.